We return this morning to the story of Vanak Prum. He's the Cambodian man who was tricked into 3 years of slave labor on a fishing boat. Prum was recognized at the State Department yesterday as a hero in the fight against human trafficking. Thousands of men like him are trafficked to boats in Thailand's giant fishing fleet, a fleet that supplies a large portion of America's seafood. Reporter Becky Palmstrom spoke with Vanak Prum and visited a Thai port where unwilling men like him are sent to sea.
We're in Songkhla in Thailand. We're walking through the docks on a sunny day. A metal disc crunches ice into chips and then spews them down a chute into the holds of the fishing boats. The air reeks of fish.
So we're crossing now onto one of the fishing boats here. Just walking across.
These trawlers are wooden and roughly the length of a basketball court. All the metal parts are rusted on this one and some of the paint is flaking off.
Okay, so we've got sort of crate of, looks like dirty water. Don't quite know what this is. What is this?
Take a bath.
The bath water is filthy. Conditions on fishing boats are tough. Even on boats where the men are treated well. Limited bath water, crowded bunks and financial uncertainty make this industry one of the least desirable to work in. The owner of this boat, Li U, says it's a battle to find willing workers.
I don't know. Sometimes the boats go out for a whole year, and sometimes income is not guaranteed. You can't compete with a factory where there's guaranteed payment every month.
Human traffickers have stepped in to fill the gap, often promising Cambodian and Burmese men land-based work to lure them into Thailand. A broker told Vanak Prum that if he left his home in Cambodia, he'd get a good job on land. But instead, he ended up forced on board a boat, like this one.
We worked day and night. Sometimes we fished 3 days and nights without stopping. After work, we bathed. If we used more water than we were allowed, we would be beaten up. It happened not only on my boat, but on every boat.
Prum says he was whipped with the tail of a stingray. We spoke with 13 other fishermen who reported similar treatment.
Skirting round the bathing area and going into the helm now. Oh, they're working right now.
At this point, we're rushed off Yu's boat and its crew cast off. We then learnt that a man who is well known in the community for trafficking workers onto boats had placed two men onto the very boat we were standing on. Once the victims are on board, they all but disappear. It's common for multiple boats to operate under the same license, making them almost impossible to track. Captains are not required to register crew lists and often give their immigrant crew fake Thai IDs and fake Thai names. Phil Robertson, now with Human Rights Watch, wrote what many consider to be the authoritative investigation on abuses on Thai boats.
So if I wanted to smuggle anything, if I wanted to smuggle weapons, if I wanted to smuggle drugs, if I wanted to do all these various different things, put it on a fishing boat, because nobody checks.
Once at sea, captains with forced labor will generally try to stay out as long as possible to stop their men from jumping ship. Some boats seek Malaysian fishing licenses so they can access better fishing grounds. And so they come to this area near Tanjung Manis to fill out their paperwork. Vanak Prum worked for 3 years at sea before he caught sight of this stretch of Malaysian coast.
I plotted to escape long time ago, but I could not go anywhere in the middle of the ocean. I could not escape.
But with land in sight, Prum and another fisherman grabbed some empty plastic jugs to help them float. Then around midnight, they plunged into the South China Sea and swam a few miles to shore.
When I managed to escape into the forest, I knew I would live.
Prum spent the night in the forest and went to the police the following day.
I thought that when I was in police hands, the police would inform the embassy and they would help me get back to Cambodia.
Instead, the police picked up the phone. A red car pulled up. Prum was loaded in, taken to a palm oil plantation, and sold again. In all, he was away 5 years. Prum's odyssey is a common one. Men are disappearing from villages in Cambodia and Burma, spending years at sea and then ending up often on plantations in Malaysia and Indonesia. Not all Thai boats use forced labor, but the fish caught by legitimate boats gets mixed in with the fish from abusive boats. Phil Robertson.
What happens is you have middleman fishmongers between the piers and the factories. And these fishmongers have multiple clients amongst the piers, and they have multiple clients amongst the factories. And they will basically consolidate and then redistribute.
American fish companies deal with exporters, but those exporters can't always say which boats the fish came from. This poses real problems for American fish companies.
U.S. companies should recognize that these goods, produced with forced labor, are in violation of the 1930 Tariff Act. You know, it's an illegal import into the United States.
Our companies certainly have no interest in sourcing seafood from companies that use illegal or exploitative labor practices.
Gavin Gibbons is with the National Fisheries Institute. It's America's largest seafood trade association and represents many of the largest fish import companies, from Walmart stores to Chicken of the Sea and Bumblebee Foods.
I don't think that American fish companies don't want to go down to the boat level themselves, but what we are finding is that in the value chain, that if even the regulators that are in position to put regulations in place are having trouble with it, that the companies are having trouble with it as well.
This muddy supply chain also means that responsible Thai boats could get painted with the slavery brush. This worries the National Fisheries Association of Thailand. Last year, they denied forced labor even exists on Thai boats. But now they're doing an about-face. Wichan Sichai Ekawat is an advisor to the group.
The change is because this is the last opportunity for us.
The National Fisheries Association of Thailand has announced two initiatives. They plan to register migrants so they can work legally, and they also want to certify the boats that comply with labor standards so American companies and consumers know what they're buying.
Well, it depends on whether it's really serious or whether it's just what we call in Thai pak chi roi na.
Phil Robertson again.
Which is the sprig of coriander on top of something to make it look better, even though it doesn't taste very good.
It's too soon to tell if the certification process will have an impact. Meanwhile, the flow of men onto Thai boats continues unabated. For NPR News, this is Becky Palmstrom.
That story included reporting from Shannon Service. To see a photo of Vinak Prum and learn more about his plight, visit npr.org.